Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about the meaning of grief, loss, and transition. And my guests this evening are Dr. Robert A. Niemeyer, professor of psychology at the University of Memphis, where he maintains an active clinical practice, and he's also the director of the Portland Institute for Loss and Transition. Dr. Niemeyer has published 30 books, including the Rutledge series on techniques of grief therapy, and serves as an editor of the Journal of Death Studies. He's the author of nearly 500 articles, and he is a frequent workshop presenter. We also have with us Wendy Littner Thompson, who has established the lecture series in which Dr. Niemeyer will be presenting. And Wendy Littner Thompson established these lecture series. Why, Wendy?
Originally, I was working at hospice, and I wanted to offer the community at least one evening every year where we could come together and talk about the big issues of life. And one of them happens to be not only about grief and bereavement, but also about preparing for the end of our lives. And so I thought this would be a way that our community could gather and really create some opportunity for common conversations.
And this lecture series is in memory of?
Dr. and Mrs. Max Littner. These are my grandparents. They met at St. Luke's in 1926 when my grandfather was an intern and my grandmother was a student in the School of Nursing.
And they met?
They met and had quite a love affair, quite a life together. My grandfather died early at 69 years old in 1971. And what my grandmother taught me about living with loss was quite profound. And so I pick up that thread and I try to share that with people who also have had losses, and not just losses because of death, but losses across the board. Losses with health, losses with anything that has to do with an assault on their identity.
And we're grateful that you established these lecture series in their honor. And the guests at the lecture series this May 8th, is the Mrs. Max Littner Memorial Lecture Series for bereavement. And Dr. Niemeyer, let us talk about the meaning of death and passing. And you have written so beautifully about the experiences that we go through. What made you interested in this particular topic?
Well, first of all, let me say that I'm touched and appreciative of the way in which Wendy frames the kind of community conversation to which she's inviting all of us. I find that the terms in which she describes the relationship between her grandparents, the way in which this salutes them, to be something that touches my heart, as well as my enthusiasm for making this visit to Bethlehem. In particular, the way in which she describes this, the way in which her grandmother taught her so much about living with loss. And I do think that a key feature of our humanity is really the reality of that we are human beings, and as humans, we are wired for attachment in a world of impermanence. And just as she implies, every person, every place, every project, every possession we love, we will lose, and we will, like her grandmother, need to learn the lessons of that loss in terms that affirm our identity rather than simply assault our identity.
That's...
So I'm very much in on board with the way in which she is framing the meaning of this lecture, and in some way, as you imply with your question, the meaning of our lives.
You know, it's very important. We don't like to think about the ending of our lives. While we know that it's there, we really don't like to address it. We push it away. And what I find is that here is an opportunity to address not only the ending, but the meaning of lives that we've lived with people that we've loved. And I think this is the most important thing. Do you agree with that, Dr. Niemeyer?
I would. And you know, this is not just a kind of intellectual or theoretical idea that's kind of interesting, or a bunch of philosophers get together in a French cafe on the left bank and drink too much coffee and talk about these things. I happened to be with a Dutch friend of mine last week in Atlanta attending a conference, so the Association of Deaf Education and Counseling. So these are all people who, like the two of us, are very interested in loss and transition in human life, grief and death and bereavement. And in the midst of this, he received a very perturbing call from home. His mother, who for 25 years has had various signals of cancer light up in her body, and then treatment would ensue, and a long period then of freedom from the threat of cancer would follow. The most recent such secure period was definitively ended when she received a very serious diagnosis of a cancer that had probably begun in her breast and ended up metastasizing to lungs, heart, and probably elsewhere. And really conjuring the very probable prospect of a fatal diagnosis over a period of time. And as I watched how my friend, whose name is Jakob, dealt with this, it was striking. He did so with seriousness, without defensiveness, but with affirming the relationship with his mom. He was on the phone to other family members as well as his mother, of course, affirming that he would return in a few days. And as he said that they would sit down, they would talk about treatment, they would talk about keeping her comfortable, they would talk about love, and they would talk about death. And there was this great silence on the other end of the line as his sister and others on this family conference call just kind of paused, probably with a little gasp. And then the sister said, "Well, we don't want to talk about death, Jakob." And he said, "That's true, we don't, but we will. We have to. That's part of what we need to confront. And we will also share stories, and we will share love, and we will very much live these remaining months. But we will also talk about that." And I think that that's the philosophy that we're inviting people into here. When we feel as if the fundamental transitions of our lives and our loved ones' lives become unspeakable, that there is no one willing to hold and hear those, then we are isolated in a place that is beyond the human community, beyond the circle of concern that we all need to draw on in order to get through life. And so by creating spaces like this lecture series and other places in our home and lives where we can talk about these fundamental things without terror and without suppression, then we are better prepared to manage them when they arrive, and we're better consoled in our grief when they do occur.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and my guest this evening is Dr. Robert Niemeyer, professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Memphis, and the writer of many wonderful books. And we're talking about his upcoming lecture, which will be held on what date?
Wednesday, May 8th at 7:30 p.m. at Central Moravian Church in historic Bethlehem.
I want to let you know, Dr. Niemeyer, many years ago, my husband of blessed memory, I never thought about it, but in aftermath, we planned a trip shortly before he died, and we planned a trip and we went cross-country, visiting relatives along the way, stopping and just enjoying the country and the various communities. And it never occurred to me until many years later that this was his way of saying goodbye to people in his life. He never said to me that, honey, I think my heart is going, but he planned it in a way that we could celebrate life. And that's what he did. He used his last moments to celebrate life with relatives, with family, and seeing and enjoying the country with me. And it was
taking control of life in order to prepare himself to let go of that control.
Exactly. And he died. We made the trip in January, and he died in March. We spent about two or three weeks going cross country and back, and he died in March.
Oh my.
Yes.
What a meaningful act. And what is your husband's name?
My husband's name is Gerald Bobrow, Rabbi Gerald Bobrow. Yeah. And he died March 27th.
Well, you know, another thing, just as I sit with that beautiful story, Ellie, is that I think you kind of underscore another important feature of this, and that is that when we talk about seeking meaning in life and even meaning and our impermanence and our death, this isn't, again, just some philosophic idea, although it may be that, too. It may be that our lives are really given shape and form by our spiritual perspectives, by our secular philosophies, certainly by our relationship with cardinal others, you know, very important others in our lives. But our lives are also given meaning by the actions that we undertake, especially those actions that come from a deep source, like that, you know, that cross-country trip to affirm relations, to say goodbye, to celebrate moments with his loving wife, as well as a broader circle. And I think that this is the kind of thing we want to invite people into in this lecture, and in just acknowledging the place of death in life. What are the meaningful actions that we can take now? If we take seriously the idea that at least on this earth, we are not eternal. Our lives count, our moments matter, and they are relatively brief. And so we need to spend them well and consciously, and not just in a default way be concerned with entertaining ourselves, but to really seek a deeper register of being, with awareness that life is not a given, a forever kind of thing.
And we're going to talk more with Dr. Robert Niemeyer, professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Memphis.
The Many Choices and Real Voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening, we're talking with Dr. Robert Niemeyer, professor of psychology at the University of Memphis, a world-renowned expert and international speaker on loss, grief, and bereavement. And due to the grant of the Littner Memorial Lecture Series, he will be talking about bereavement on Wednesday, May 8th at
Central Moravian Church in historic Bethlehem.
And how do people register for the conference if they'd like to come?
Right. So they are welcome to go to the website, which is www.sluhn.org/Littner Lecture Series, and it walks you through the entire process. Really simple. And the phone number is 484-526-7900 or 1-866-ST-LUKES.
Dr. Niemeyer, what are some of the things that you feel people perhaps overlook when they're grieving?
One thing that we commonly overlook when we're grieving is the possibility of continuity in the experience. And what I mean by that is that rather than seeing bereavement as a time in which we sort of grimly clench our teeth and let go of the person we have loved, it's probably more appropriate to think of it as a way of attempting to hold on to them, but in a new way. Mm-hmm. We're trying to reconstruct a bond of love and care rather than to relinquish that bond of love and care. And so if we approach bereavement with this idea, we're led to think about what are the non-physical ways that this person is with us still and can continue to bear on our lives. How now can we hold them in our thoughts, our memories, our world of emotion? How can we keep their stories alive in the world? Just as you shared the beautiful example of your cross-country trip with Gerald and inspired me a bit in doing that.
I will also share with you that now he's been gone many years, but he is with me. And I'll tell you, share yes. with you how he is with me. For example, I may be in a room and I misplace something. I can't find my keys, and I'm looking and looking, and finally I get a little bit of an idea, and I say, oh, there they are. And I say, thank you, Jerry. That was very nice.
I love it.
And that's how he is part of my life. He is with me. I say, thank you, God, and I say, thank you, Jerry. And
that's lovely.
And he is with
that's lovely.
Me. Yes. So I yeah. understand that, and we have to keep parts of them alive. And I do feel that way. He is gone into a different level, but I feel he's always with me, helping me and guiding me and being my support.
Well, and we need look only as far as the woman there in the studio with you and the person of Lente who is very much keeping her grandparents' memory alive and their stories alive. You know, met as a young intern and a nursing student, and now could they ever have imagined that there would be communal conversations about matters of such consequence in their honor, you know, all of these many decades out from that initial meeting? I think in many ways we need to recognize that grief is an act of love. It's how we love people when they die. And it need not be something that grinds our lives to a halt. It need not be such a burdensome weight that we cannot move forward in life, or we have no room in our arms or heart for others. It can be an extension of our love for our departed that we also embrace life in. And sometimes these losses are, of course, very consequential. I don't want to trivialize or romanticize them. When someone loses a child or loses a partner under violent or sudden circumstance, or a family member is stricken by a disease that robs their life from us, one, you know, sort of breath at a time with COPD, or one neuron at a time in a dementing condition, these are perturbing losses. I'm not wanting to somehow whitewash the very serious challenges that are engaged with that. But I do want to say that, kind of like you, when we can't control the circumstances of our life, we still can exert influence over the attitude that we have about it. and the choices we make in light of that. And we can make choices to draw close to others and to affirm core life purposes, and in some ways maybe even live our lives as extensions of those of our loved ones, really honoring their legacy and these choices. And these are the kinds of things we'll talk about and try to offer some practical advice about when we get together in Bethlehem.
And the lecture series will be presented on Wednesday, May 8th at 7:30 p.m. And the doors open at 6:30 at Central Moravian Church in Bethlehem. And you will have an opportunity to hear a very fine speaker on the loss, grief, and the quest for meaning with Dr. Robert A. Niemeyer, sponsored by the Wendy Littner Thompson Counseling Services.
And I also want to add that David Heinzelman has been our premier sponsor for this lecture series since its inception. His support has been unwavering and very generous, and I'm incredibly grateful to him for his support through the last 9 years.
And in your work, Dr. Niemeyer, have you found people who have been difficult to console or readjust to life without their partner or loved one?
Well, certainly that's the case, isn't it? All of us would have observed that, and sometimes in our own lives. Mm-hmm. It is not an easy thing to, in some way, edit, rewrite the story of our lives when a key player in that story seems to be torn out of the book of our lives, and we have to figure out how to rewrite all the chapters moving forward. And this is not a simple thing, and sometimes grief can become complex and prolonged. Sometimes it can feel as if we're stuck in a vortex of pain from which we can find no exit. And when that condition persists month after month, sometimes year after year, then professionals will talk about complicated grief or prolonged grief disorder. And that's a real phenomenon. 10% of bereaved people struggle in such a painful state. And the good news is that there are things that we can do to help with that struggle. So we want to acknowledge that most of our grieving is adaptive. It's a kind of natural process that follows a loss of someone who is a key part of our life story. But sometimes it can become almost a terminal destination and one that has real health, mental health effects across the long haul. And in those cases, professional consultation can make sense. And part of what we're trying to do with the Portland Institute is to build capacity on the part of mental health professionals to be more useful to us in moments of such complicated bereavement.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things, some of the things you're going to be talking about in your lecture are living with the loss, attachment, and what about meaningful action that people can take in their lives?
Well, I think that's fundamental, that we do end up needing to think about how now do I hold this loved one in my heart? How do I, in some sense, come to terms with the cognitive reality in our thoughts? We recognize that they're not seated at that breakfast table with us as they would otherwise have been. But the very chair calls forth their very present absence, and we're relating to them now in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these internal changes, emotional, cognitive, but there are also behavioral changes that need to take place. And the world of action, we're seeking ways to reorganize our lives. We have to do things differently. Sometimes in our families, we have to step in and take the role our loved one once had. If my wife were to die before me, God forbid, I'd have to figure out how to balance our checking accounts, you know, and pay the bills. I don't do any of that. I just, you know, I trust her to keep all of that, you know, going well. And so there are very tangible ways in which we need to reorganize our lives after loss. And some of them may have to do with extending the legacy of our loved one through actions like a memorial lecture series, through the ways we can tell with animation the inspiring stories of our loved one's lives.
And in many ways to
recognize our loved ones live in us, and we want to give them a good home now, as we make good choices about how we spend our time.
Well, I think that is, I like that, how our loved ones live within us. And one way of, I try to do that with my family, is to, in Judaism, you have a memorial date once a year where you light a candle, a candle in their memory, both in the congregation and at home. And we also, I also bring my family together to discuss memorable moments, both positive and negative, that we can laugh about and remember, remember their dad, and remember our family life together. So we try to do that.
It's beautiful, and it also illustrates the way in which in Judaism and in other walks of faith and belief, we do have a generous supply of practices for helping us with this. We don't have to make it all up from scratch.
Exactly.
Whether we're saying Kaddish during a period of active grieving, whether we're doing an unveiling a year following the death of a loved one, the tombstone, whether we are engaging in spontaneous memorial processes during holidays or family gatherings. In all of these ways, formal and informal, we're not in it alone. We don't have to make it all up. We can, in some way, use these cultural forms, and then we fill in the personal content, and that can be a great support to us in our grieving.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Robert Niemeyer, professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Memphis, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that grief is a process and that we need to take an active role in coping with our loss. And one of the many suggestions that you talk about in your book, Lessons on Loss, A Guide to Coping, is to write a letter to your loved one talking about your love, your experiences, your loss as a means of filling in the gaps of feelings unexpressed to a loved one. To learn more and experience more of Dr. Niemeyer, you may want to register for the Dr. and Mrs. Max Littner Memorial Lecture Series for Bereavement, to be held on Wednesday, May 8th at 7:30 p.m. at the Central Moravian Church in Bethlehem. There's a $10 registration fee. Thank you, Dr. Robert Niemeyer. Thank you, Wendy Littner Thompson, for helping to make this wonderful lecture series available. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.